I've been thinking about this for a while. I was in California visiting Linda, and I was trying to get some thoughts together while I was out there. And I got about this much down. I just couldn't seem to get anything down. But what I was thinking about was blessings. And there's been a lot of things said in the last few days, but I guess the one that have kind of gone along with some of the things I've thought that I just haven't gotten to write down. And but I was talking to Lori, my sister-in-law, at Lacey this last week, and I was telling her that I think what makes me, you know, kind of nervous is that, I know you told me that, Michael told me not to say I was nervous, but is that I feel like, and it's probably just me, but I feel like I'm expected of more than I can deliver. And so, and then she said, you know, if you can just remember that it's for the Lord, you're doing it. It's for the Lord. And I know that, but somehow, at least I tend to forget it. And it's like Michael said, sometimes we feel like we have to bring something new or something exciting or something everybody's going to go, wow, that, you know, I've never heard that before. And really, it's just telling what's happened and just telling the old story.
Amen.
I want to thank y'all for your prayer and your support. I know I haven't been around lately very much. But I really do thank you for your giving to us so that we can be down there, and for your prayers, because we do need them. I saw a lot of blessings, and I want to mention some of them. First of all, of course, is my parents, my godly parents. I'm really thankful to the Lord for them. The second is I've really been thankful for the young people, just to see what the Lord is doing in the young people down there. The way that the Lord has given them a desire and power to preach. And there's, like Mike mentioned, he mentioned several young people. Some of these guys are 15 years old, and they're preaching. You know, they really have a desire to preach. And it's just been a blessing to see these young men grow in the Lord. It's for Mike, my husband, who loves me, and I'm sure that takes a lot of effort, a lot of time. But I thank the Lord for his desire to preach the gospel.
Amen.
And for my children, I kind of want to go with each one of them. But, you know, a lot has been said lately about changes, too. And we've talked about all kinds of things, and changes is one of those things. And I guess the biggest change in my life this year is losing Wendy. She's been a real blessing. And it just seems like it came too soon. You always hear, you know, enjoy your kids. And I always think, I enjoy them, but it comes a lot sooner than you think. I thank the Lord, though, that He has provided a home for her, and she can be staying with Noyola, and that's a real blessing. Uh-huh. But I ask your prayers, because I don't have what to worry. But I thank the Lord for her and for the changes I've seen in her and just in her life this year. Just even in the last few weeks, her and Terry, you know, I got to take a trip together, so that, you know, kind of the last few days together. And we had a real nice time. And just some of the changes I saw during that trip, it just really blessed me. And for Michael, for his willingness and desire to preach the gospel. Joey shared, I believe it was Joey on it was, I think it's in, I'm not sure the verse. I wrote it down, but now I can't find it. It was our duty to do. And we know that it's our duty. He said, you know, somehow we have this feeling that I'm not, you know, if I'm called, but it says that it's our duty to do. And so even though it is, I praise the Lord that he was willing to take up that duty and to preach the gospel. And the highlights, Janice talked about highlights, and that really, I thought so much of just blessings, the word blessings, but when she mentioned highlights, that really gave me the word I needed, really, for some of the things that have happened. Just the different things of this year, and I guess the biggest highlight in my life has been to see the answer to prayer in Michael's life. I saw him for 3 years pray for Terry, and as private as he is, a lot of times I didn't know what was going on or anything, but he prayed for Terry. He wanted Terry for 3 years, and she didn't know it, but several of us, there was only a few that he told, and those of us that knew, we prayed with him, and we hoped with him, and I remember one day, which wasn't very often because Michael, like I said, is real private, but he came into my room and said, I think I'm just going to give up. He hadn't talked to her yet, but he said, I just don't think I have a chance. And, oh, my heart just, oh. And, I mean, I wanted to write Terry, you know. And I wanted to so much, but I'm real glad that Michael didn't give up. He kept praying. He kept praying for, man, another year or so, I guess. But I know, I remember one thing that after he asked, I don't really know how it happened, he didn't say a lot, but when he finally did ask her to marry him and she agreed, there's a young man down there, Bethel, he's 21 and he really wants to get married. And, he would tell Michael, I remember after he found out that Michael, Terry said yes, he said, you know, I just don't understand, I want to get married so bad, I want a godly wife, you know, and Michael just said, if you just would pray for what God wants. He said, that's what I did. I prayed for what God wanted. And that's really stayed with me. And I just thank the Lord for Terry. I love her. I don't think Michael could have got anyone better. I really, really praise the Lord for the answer for her in his life. I guess that's been my highlight. A lot of people ask me if it was a hard thing, you know, him getting married. And I guess I'll consider it a change because Michael moved out a year ago, which was hard for me. But it was so exciting to see that his prayer answered.
Amen.
That I really thank the Lord. And I guess the other thing was, and I can, honest, I'm not very proud, but I can say that I didn't pray faithfully with Janice, her mother-in-law, but I met her mother-in-law and, Brent's mom, and I know they had such a desire to see her saved, and I did. I honestly did want to see her saved, and when she called me on the phone one day to tell me she'd gotten saved, I just started crying. It was, you know, just to realize the Lord is faithful. He really does answer prayer. And then I thought, you know, in prayer, do we give up so easy? You know, do I get tired of praying? And I do. Sometimes I get so tired of praying for someone, you know, I just seem like, kind of give up. Like Arlene said, you know, you just kind of want to quit. And then you hear that someone got saved, and I'm so glad they didn't give up. I want to share some verses. I was thinking when I was in California about the blessings, like I said, and I was thinking the spiritual blessings we have, and I don't know if I can come up, give you what I was thinking, but somehow sometimes I think of it as peace, joy, love. I don't know. I kind of get mixed up in what are spiritual blessings, or at least I in my mind have certain things in my mind, what they are. And I was reading Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 13. I'll just read them, and then there's just some words I wrote down. And I think I know I take them for granted so many times. But it says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according to his chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things as the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And I wrote down some kind of for the different things that I saw as spiritual blessings. Was he's chosen us, he's predestined us, he's adopted us, and I don't know, the adopted, there's a verse in Spanish that says we've been, it's not going to come to me, that's in Peter, but it's bought, but I forgot, it doesn't mean comprado, it's, in Spanish, I can't think of it, but it means so much to me in Spanish because it just talks about how we were really bought, but it doesn't use the word bought, anyway, it's adquirido, pueblo adquirido, and it just, I don't know, for some reason that to me is so special, it's like,
acquired.
I don't think it says acquired, does it?
Peculiar.
I think it's, yeah, it doesn't say the same thing. But anyway, it's that word to me, adopted, I don't know, in Spanish when it talks about, you know, being adopted or being bought, it's adquirido, and it's like he went out looking for us. I don't know, it's so special to me that I'm adopted. It says accept, and then it's accepted us. He's redeemed us with his own blood. He abounded toward us. And when I think of abounded, I think of just how much he just keeps abounding in love toward us and wisdom, and he just keeps giving. He made known unto us the mystery of his will. He's given us an inheritance, and he sealed us. But along with that, Mike talked about blistering, and it kind of blistered me because I got to thank him. Janice also mentioned compassion, and some others since then have mentioned compassion. And I got to thinking about how Brent mentioned, you know, how, let me get my hair myself, to give the gospel, we have to have compassion. I mean, do we really have compassion to the people, or is it just a job? And there is a difference. People can tell if you have compassion. I mean, they really can. They see it. They're not blind. People can see. And I was thinking, where would all of us be? Where would some of us be? Where would some of you be if the one that told you hadn't had compassion? And I'm going to try not to go too long, but some names came to me during this time when I was thinking of compassion. And my brother-in-law Trish isn't here tonight, but I hope he doesn't mind. About a year and a half ago, the last time I was here except for the wedding, Michael came with us and he shared his testimony. And afterwards, Trish was talking to him about, you know, I understand how you feel, see your family saved. He said, both of my parents are burning in hell. Just like that is how he said it. And it even took me kind of, I thought, whoa, that's pretty cold, And, I mean, he wasn't being funny or anything. He just stated a fact. And even Michael kind of stood back and he kind of looked at me like, how can you say that? Or, I mean, it's true, but just seemed such a cold statement. And when Billy preached, he was talking about being sober, not silly. And, hell is a real place. It's not just a little kid like the devil, with red suits. I mean, there is the devil, and there is a real hell, and it's a burning hell. And when Bill said that about hell and about being sober, it hit me about what Chris had said, and I thought, he wasn't being unkind. He was stating a fact. It's a sad fact. He said, I wish they weren't, but that's where they are. And I got to thinking, if I would see it that way, if I could remember that there's some people down there burning in hell, some dear people. And I got to think, then some other names came to me. And I'll see if I have it right, but I remember some of the things they've been told me. Brother Lindahl, I believe, it was an old preacher. I mean, I think he grew up in a... Where is he? There's Brother Lindahl. In a Christian home. But I think it was an old preacher, wasn't it, that cared for you, that had compassion on him and didn't give up. And he kept preaching on him and kept witnessing to him. And because of that man that had compassion on Brother Lindahl, and it made me think of Lindahl because of 602, that's the reason. Brother Willie was saying how special this place was. Well, this place wouldn't be here if that man hadn't had compassion on Brother Lindahl. How many of you would not be here if that man had not had compassion? And then I thought, from Brother Lindahl, I thought of some other people, and I thought of Cindy Schreiner. I believe that, Dower Office, I believe that he was having a study at Dower Office, and because of that, Cindy heard the gospel, and through Cindy, her parents. And then it hit me. I looked over, and I saw Marty, and the ball kept rolling. It just kind of kept rolling, from Cindy heard the gospel, she's in Schreiner, and kept going, and then Marty came, and she came because of a tract someone had given. But Cindy had compassion, and Marty, and now Marty knows the Lord. And because of that, where's Marty? But in Mexico, for another. And I just kind of kept going. I mean, I guess you could go on and on. I don't know a lot of people. But the next person I thought of was Brent. And he was the first, I guess theirs was the first home we stayed in the conferences when we started staying at home. And I remember him telling me how he got saved. And I believe it was through a coworker named Gwen, at a hamburger joint, I think. And she had compassion on him. He was saying how, he was quite a wild guy. Well, this girl had compassion on him. And she told him the story. And what touched me was when he said that, she died of hepatitis and she can't keep giving it. Now she's done. Testimony's done. Is it going to stop there? Mm-hmm. How many of you are here because of Gwen's compassion to Brent? And I realized tonight that it's Angie and Roland is one of them that are here. And, it could keep going on. The last ones I want to mention here are, I believe it was Coronado that witnessed Jamie's family. And I guess that touches me because now Terry's my daughter-in-law. But because, all this, it just keeps rolling, It has to start with compassion. And that compassion didn't, I know, start with the preacher at Total Lindahl, but at least at 602 it did. And how many people here, heard from that? And then I thought of in Mexico. And, I just want to mention a couple people down there. And one of them was, Billy mentioned this morning, those of you in here, we were talking, he was preaching, and he mentioned that some of the churches have been down there for 100 years. Reminded me of a statement that a sister in Leon, made to us one time. She said, are y'all the only Christians? And I said, oh no, there's many, many Christians. And she said, why haven't we heard before? Why just now? And that hit me, and I realized, different ones have said, we're not the only ones doing God's work. We're not the only ones that are doing things. But it's a shame that these churches have been down there 100 years. Another sister had gone to a church for 8 years. She can't read or write. And when she heard the gospel on the street, she said, I've been going to church, evangelistic church for 8 years. Now, whether they didn't give it simple enough for her to understand, I don't know. But she had never known how to be saved. And And I just think that's so sad, you know. I want to have that compassion. And then just a couple more. One was, and I was telling you, Billy, Marco, y'all, some of y'all met him, walked out of a restaurant and heard Billy preaching. And what he heard, he didn't like. And he walked up, I believe, to Debbie Kincaid and asked if that's not true what he's saying about the Virgin, is it? And, you know, they started talking. And Marco got saved. And then he told his family. And for sure, one of his brothers, who y'all know, John, is saved. I don't know about the others, but John is saved. And he's been witnessing to his dad and his stepmother. But then I thought of a young man, really an acquaintance of Marco. He ran in from one day in the street. And he was wearing sunglasses. He tried to commit suicide already once or twice. He was gay. And he was at the end of his rope, and he told Marco, please help me. He just started crying, please help me, go, tell me, I see something different, you tell me what to do, I don't know what to do. And he just sat down and just poured his heart out, said, help me. And Marco didn't know a lot, but he told him what he did know. And 3 days later, Poche got saved. And, he's told his family. But then and it's a cry for help. Some of these people cry for help. It's not just, you know, that they hear the gospel like some do, hear the gospel and get saved. Some of them are crying for help, literally saying, help me. And the last one I want to mention is a lady that just a couple of nights before we left, Mike went preaching downtown. And afterwards, when he got home, he told me that a lady cried and cried. I don't know if it was also the preaching or afterwards, but she talked to him some. Well, the next day, she called, and since he had told me that this lady, you know, had cried, she called and talked to me, and she just said, I want to know if there's a place for young people, you know, do y'all have a meeting? I want my kids to go to a meeting. And so I told her, and she said she couldn't come because her husband would not allow it, but she would be sure her kids would be there. One of her daughters was there that afternoon at the meeting. But I just want to read just a couple of things in her letter. She knows some English, but it's pretty choppy, and I'm going to read it like she wrote it. And some things, her thoughts, she's been with Disciples of Christ, I believe, something like that. It's that, like y'all ran into, well, I've heard, I think. I don't think they're really right at all doctrinally, but she's been with some things, and she says there's no hope for her. And I didn't get a chance to talk to her again before I left, but when I get back, I'm going to go visit her, because she feels there's no more hope for her, that she wants it for her children. But this is some of the things she said. She said, God sends you in the right time. You are my last chance to become my children Christians. And then it says, please try to understand my children. It's so a shock you don't understand, but for Catholics, you are the devil. So imagine and be kind. I understand you are saying it's true, but for a new person, it's horrible to hear it. And then it says, life is hard and difficult, and in the Catholic Church, you're lost. In the Protestant churches, I can't go, so I want my children to be spiritual, strong, to live in God's will, and have a good and right life. Help me. And when I saw that, I thought, you know, how much more can they ask? I mean, help me. The two words, and she, you know, writes them with a quotation mark, or with the, whatever you call them. And it says, and I'm letting him go into my children, and they will be saved, isn't it? I hope he will. Because I'm tired and very sick, and I already lost my first boy. He is an atheist. I don't want to lose another. Forgive my bad English, but it's 2:30 a.m. I can't sleep. And I just, when I read this, how can I say no? These people are crying for help. Are we going to have compassion? There was some verse that Joe shared one. It says that the Lord was moved with compassion.
Amen.
It says the multitude was scattered as sheep having no shepherd. And these people, I mean, they're scattered. They're doing all these things. They think they're right. It's like that song, you know, about the woman throwing the baby in the stream. They do it with sincerity. They think that it's going to do it. And then in Lamentations, I thought, his compassion is filling up.
Amen.
And yet, how much I faint, how much I get tired of praying. Or like Arlene said, you give up. You want to just say, well, man, I visit them so many times and they still don't come. You just give up. But his compassions don't fail. And the last thing I want to say is, in 1 Peter 1:4, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And I was just thinking, you know, in some of the verses I read, it talks about where we have an inheritance. And here it says it's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and it fadeth not away. Are we going to hold it just for us? I mean, is that inheritance? Are we going to be so selfish that I want it just for me? It's Bethel talks, he was in a loop, Bethel was going to a Presbyterian church, I believe, and he talks about the syndrome of the 144,000, I think, is how he calls what that church had. Like, they didn't want to evangelize. We are, there's enough of us right here. We don't need to go more. They never said it, but that was the attitude they had. And I thought, is that my attitude? You know, is inheritance just for me? And one more verse in 1 Peter 2:10, it says, someone mentioned that, remember, we've been there before. We were there. Have we forgotten that we were there? That someone had compassion on us? I know I forget. I forget that my dad had compassion on me. I heard the gospel through my dad. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We weren't a people. It says in another verse, talking about without hope and without God. And yet that's how they are. We were that way one time too. And have we forgotten that? I want to have that compassion. And I just praise the Lord that this church, like Willie said, it's very different. But remember, it's here because someone had compassion on somebody.
Amen.
And you're here because someone had compassion.
Amen.